Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T, from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Some people say T has a way with words. Some call him the Tom Brady of blogging, the Jay-Z of screenwriting, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. He is the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now here is your host, T.
Welcome everyone to the Tea Podcast for Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 144. I have a special guest tonight. No, it's not Beagle the co-host. No, I'm not doing a solo podcast by myself. I have brought back my, can't say girlfriend anymore, my fiance, Melty. Say hello, Melty.
Hi. I didn't want to cut you off, but you messed up the date.
It's on February 25th?
Tomorrow's the 26th.
No, it's going up tonight.
Oh, no. Never mind.
So we're live, and you didn't say your typical, hello, Melty.
Oh, hello, Melty.
That's going to be your intro.
That's going to be my intro.
You messed it up.
I messed it up.
Is my voice not over?
No.
You want to keep going with this?
We'll just keep rolling.
So I didn't get to record earlier today. Well, actually last night to go up today, but I'm putting this up a late night edition of the Tea Podcast. I had a lot going on yesterday. I just didn't have it in me to record last night. It was a rough Monday, as I let Melty know. So Melty's staying over the Tea Palace tonight. I figured that I'd bring her back to the podcast by popular demand, and the fact that last time we recorded, we were boyfriend and girlfriend, and we gave Oscar predictions, which you won. We both had a terrible performance. I was 2 for 8. You were 3 for 8.
Well, we also didn't see any of the movies, so.
No, we didn't see Parasite, which I didn't tell you. Parasite apparently struck a deal with Hulu, and I think March or April, it's coming to Hulu, so we can watch it.
Good.
We can watch Parasite. I don't know when the other ones are coming in, but eventually, you know, 1917 we'll watch. I don't know. We saw some of the movies. We talked about that in the podcast, but not a good chunk of them. So, and Parasite, for it to clean up the way it did, we absolutely should watch Parasite when it comes on Hulu. But I wanted to bring Melty back for a couple reasons. Again, there's a lot of topical stuff that I want to get into. But I came onto the podcast, obviously, by myself, talking about our recent engagement. Let the audience know my perspective on how we got engaged. And I'll leave to you whatever you want to share. But talked about it with B-Lo, so I figured I'd bring on the love of my life as we are now engaged and plan our wedding. But how does it feel, Melty, to be engaged to the infamous T from TeaBlog.com?
It doesn't feel any different.
At all?
At all.
Really?
Not even a little bit.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. I don't feel different at all.
You don't feel more in love? You don't feel like there's more sense of importance to our relationship? You don't feel like we're on the next level? We're going down a road where obviously marriage and children and family happen? Like, there isn't anything that has changed in your mind in our relationship?
Nothing's really changed in our relationship. I would say I have more maybe excitement because we have a lot of exciting things coming up. And we get to celebrate with our families, which is great. But it doesn't feel different. I don't feel like I love you more. I loved you before.
You feel like you love me more?
I don't feel like I love you more.
Do you feel like you love me less?
No, it's about the same.
Even after I put that rock on your finger?
Oh, yeah, the rock. No, I don't love you more for putting a rock on my finger. It's a material thing. But I do, I mean, as anyone can attest to, I'm frequently looking at it throughout the day, so.
How is that? So I gave a guy's point of view, and you and I talked about this, obviously, off the podcast. And again, we don't have to give up too many intimate details about our relationship, but from a guy's point of view, and I said this to you, and I said it to B-Lo, and I said it on here, I don't know why. I don't know if I ever didn't get the importance, not the importance of a diamond, but I know that the importance of a diamond in a relationship, our relationship and engagements, but how people react to a diamond. And I was saying on the podcast before, and I was saying too, like, it feels like every picture I post of us, and it's tough. And I used to, I guess, when I was younger, give girls a hard time that they would purposely try to get their ring into the pitches, but you don't share a lot of pictures. It's me taking pictures of you. And it's kind of hard to like take a picture of you now if we're out to eat and our plates and stuff, the ring gets a better picture, but women tend to gravitate towards engagement rings. Why?
I mean, I don't know if we gravitate toward engagement rings. I think some people do, maybe. But I think it's more of a... Girls always tend to notice rings, whether it's a ring on a man that they think is cute. So, like, a woman will always notice if a man is wearing a wedding ring. Just always. It just... Your eye goes to that. And I think it's the same if you're looking at other women... Not in the way you're probably thinking with your little smile on your face, but I think women just tend to notice rings on other women and they tend to look at them. And I was told immediately after we got engaged that a lot of people would comment. And I'm surprised that nobody has really commented, like in a store or anything. But I also think I probably haven't gone to like a clothing store. I think at a clothing store they might notice it more. But
closest people to you, people from work, friends, family.
I mean, every single person in my life has commented, who has seen the ring, I should say, has commented on how beautiful it is. And that's without prompting. I mean, I did kind of prompt my mom a little bit to be like, isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah.
But she thought that anyway. She just didn't want to gloat too much.
See, like for me now, telling again, I a lot of my closest people knew the date when I was going to propose to you. Obviously, I kept it a surprise from you. But, like, no guy, like, none of my guy friends were like, let me see the ring. Like, none of the guys were saying that to me. But, like, my sister, my nieces, close, like, they had to see the ring.
Yeah, well, I think that's normal. That's a guy, not versus girl, but guy opposite girl thing. Where we tend to, not that we're materialistic, but we get very excited by those things because we know that they matter.
Yeah.
And matter in terms of that it's like, it's a new thing that you're wearing. Like for me, the way I look at it is we're engaged and people can tell that I'm engaged because I'm wearing a ring. People can't tell that you're engaged.
I know.
Just by looking at you.
Engaged. Some people had no idea I was in a serious relationship. Like, oh my God, you're engaged now?
There you go.
I talk about it here, but my personal life. There like at work, I don't share details like that.
Well, there you go. And that's, I think it's, yeah, it's just, that's the way life goes.
But soon I will be wearing a ring. And you know me, I don't wear jewelry except for a watch.
Well, and that's a good segue. So this is a good topical question. I won't say there are a lot, but there's a trend of a man proposing to a woman and them getting engaged, and then the woman proposing back to the man, and the man wearing one of the topics we're going to talk about today. I'm not sure if you even picked up on this.
Oh, the guys are wearing the rings. We'll get into that.
So I do think that there's like trends of men wanting to also feel like they're equally important and they're an equal partner in the relationship and they are engaged, so they're wearing rings.
So we'll get into one of the topics we're going to talk about, because actually the title of tonight's Tea podcast is Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Because we'll segue into that Netflix show in a second. But we know it's on the show, and I'll talk about the show in a second. But if I was a guy and I wanted to show that I was engaged and I'm wearing one of those rings, it's a band. It's just going to look like I'm married, but I'm not married.
So you wouldn't wear a ring just to say, like, I'm engaged. You wouldn't do that.
Then what am I doing with the ring?
I don't know. You're just wearing it. It's a symbol of our love.
But it looks like a wedding band. It's going to look like I'm married, but I'm not married yet.
Yeah.
And do I swap that out for another band when we do get married?
But arguably the wedding band doesn't necessarily, I mean, it symbolizes love and partnership. Mm-hmm. So it could equally do that just being.
So if I were engaged to wear an engagement band today as a man, where does it go once I put on my wedding band?
I mean, it could be the same band.
Is that what people are doing?
I don't know.
Is that what the kids are doing?
I don't know how it works. I don't know anyone personally. But it is, like you say, do you feel any different? And as this might be shallow, but the only way that it feels different is that I put on a ring every morning before I leave the house. That's really the only way that it feels different. I have a ring on my finger all day, and it's sometimes a little uncomfortable because I'm not used to wearing a ring.
See, it feels a little bit different from me, and I talked about it on the podcast by myself and with Bilo. I feel like now I have a relationship with purpose. Like, you bring a part to my life that I didn't have before, so I carry myself and walk around now like something I didn't know was missing in my life. Like, wow, my life has more meaning now because I found the other half to my being.
But you didn't feel that before we were engaged?
I did, but now it feels like before, I'm not saying we could have ended at any minute, but it feels like before it was just a relationship. Not just a relationship, but, you know, real love. But now it feels like with that ring being engaged, I already knew I was going to spend the rest of my life with you a long time ago, even before I bought that ring. But now it feels like we're heading towards that completion. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think you and I from the beginning always felt like we're going somewhere together in life when we first, you know, met and how we were going. But now I feel like a sense of, I was very happy before when we were just going out. But now I feel happier because I know, I can't say there's an end game at it because, but I just know now I'm going to end up marrying you. Mm-hmm. So that carries me throughout the day where if work is tough, and sometimes it can be, or stress, other things going on, I think about at the end of the day, I get to marry you. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that gets to walk around and now like sense of purpose.
I guess I can understand that because I think I've said this to you and I've said it to a few other friends that I do feel, it doesn't feel different necessarily, but it feels surreal.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel real. And I've, the way I reconcile it in my brain is everything has felt so natural and easy. And so to feel like, well, now we're going to need to plan a wedding, like, that feels surreal. It doesn't feel like a real moment that will happen because everything's just felt so natural and it's just like progressed. And now we actually have to like plan things and like work towards things and understand. And I think you and I have done a good job about this, probably me less so, but we've done a good job with like communication and what we need to work on as a couple. And we still have a lot to like come through and move through in that respect. But it feels very surreal because it's been like this like state, like you've just been in my life and it's felt like forever, even though it hasn't really been forever. And
Well, speaking of surreal, I also talked on the Tea Podcast, and the audience knows, they've been listening along, that how you and I met, and that's no secret that we met on the dating apps. But let me ask you, because everybody knows my answer here, like, would you have ever thought that you and I getting on dating apps, being total strangers not too long ago, that we'd be here right now planning our wedding?
I had hope that I would be here.
That was the hope of going on to dating apps.
Yeah.
Meet the love of your life.
Yeah.
But did you ever think it would happen?
Well, I think that's where the hope comes in. Like, the reason why I even continued to try, even after failed dates, but just like, you know, you meet people, they might be great people, but they're not your person.
You would love that line. I want to say that for another podcast.
Yeah.
The melty, you're going to be somebody's person, but just not my person. Yeah. Line that you told me on date two?
No, I think I said it on the first date.
Oh, you like probably did. You meet
people who aren't your people, but they're nice people. I had gone through many a date that way and just like wasn't finding my person. But I think the reason why I kept on going and the reason why I might have accepted your like of me first, because you did like me first, is because you need to have hope. Like, I hoped that it would lead to this because this is what I always wanted. I wanted to meet a great guy. Check. Met him. And I wanted it to be a long-term relationship. And it is. Check. So in that regard, I definitely had hope that it would lead to this. Did I think it would be you upon our first date?
Which I've gone on here saying was the greatest first date of all time.
You did. I thought it was an amazing date. Don't get me wrong.
It was the greatest first date of all time.
It was a great date.
The greatest first date of all time.
Did I think I would be marrying you?
You thought you were going to be marrying me.
I probably didn't go home thinking I would be marrying you. But it took me a little while to come around. I think we can all like admit that to ourselves.
We, you and I.
But yeah, I mean, I think what I might not have known at first, I did always have hope that this is where I would be. I don't know if that really, that was a long tale of answering your
question. It's good because, again, I talk about you so much in our relationship with B-Lo and myself on here that it's good that you are on here because we talked about when I bring you on the podcast, like his and hers. And again, as much as we want to share about our personal intimate relationship and our engagement, it's good for the audience to hear your point of view because it, being the T podcast, it's all my perspective the entire time. But before we segue over to a couple other things too, and again, I don't want to reveal a lot of details. Were you genuinely surprised with the way I proposed to you?
I was surprised. Like, I knew it was going to happen eventually because we talked about it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Did I know that it was going to happen then? I think, and I've said this, like, there were signs. There was definitely at one point before it happened where I was like, I wonder. And then, but I think I was surprised in the way you did it, even though it was very us. Like, it wasn't out of left field. It was just, it was a pleasant surprise.
Very us, would you say? It was very romantic, spontaneous.
Are you kidding? Romantic? I am not a romantic person by nature, even though you like to say I watch all these Bollywood movies.
You love Bollywood movies.
I do, to be fair, I watch a lot of like romantic comedies and more romantic comedies than romantic movies. But so I'm not technically like but I wouldn't label myself a romantic. Mm. That's just not something that I felt like I ever was. But you proposed in a very romantic way. So much so that my mother cried. And that's how you know it was romantic, because my mom lives for romantic, like, stuff and gestures. And she was like, it's so romantic. I don't know how he learned to do that. Where did he learn to do all this? So you won my mother over.
It's good. That's all that matters. That's all that's what I wanted to do, obviously. Mm-hmm. So for all my shortcomings, my flaws, and me being a pain in the ass, being funny, would you say that you're marrying a romantic guy?
I would say, above all else, while you are very romantic, and I never realized that I would appreciate that so much, you are an amazing man. Like, and I've said this before, I'll say it till the day I die. I don't know how I got so lucky. Aww. You're just wonderful. You're smart. You're very engaging, the word I like to use for you.
You've been saying that since the first date.
You make me laugh. There's a whole host of things other than being romantic, which you are, but you're also very chivalrous. Mm-hmm. You open the door for me, which again, never needed it, but I always notice it. Pull my seat out every time. He's a catch.
the lady said to us.
Yeah, a hostess when we were on a date said that to him. Or said that to me about him because he pulled out my chair. But yeah, you're wonderful. And cherry on the top of that sundae is that you're very romantic.
Well, and I've said this to you, and I said it before on the podcast, and I said it to B-Lo, and I say it out loud, and I say it to anybody that comes close to me. I do things for you that I never did, or I never did as much or as that level for other women in the past, and that's how I knew you were the one, because I never wanted to do that stuff for anyone else until I met you. So that right away let me know that this woman is special. This woman is the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And believe me, it does not go unnoticed that for my crazy, sometimes very insane, borderline offensive sense of humor, that you do find me funny.
Yeah, I don't understand it. But also, it's worth saying that I am sitting here with no makeup on, in my pajamas, with my Coke bottle glasses, and you still want to marry me.
And your bank robbery hoodie.
And my bank robbery hoodie, not my other one that you don't like. But yeah.
And meanwhile, I am decked head to toe
in
Patriots gear that you bought for me.
True. This is true.
That's how much you, as again, we talked about it here, in Patriot land, and you put up with this. It's no secret my love for the Patriots and Tom Brady and all this crazy trinket stuff on my travels, and look at this place, and you come here. And again, it goes to show how much you love me. You're sitting here on the T podcast, which when we first started dating, you weren't a big fan of the T podcast.
Yeah. There was one comment I didn't love. But otherwise, I thought you had a great thing going. It was very entertaining, the episodes that I listened to. There's just that one little thing.
But you even went back and you read Classic T Blog, which I wrote years before I even met you, but you got to know something about me. And that's where, again, I have to talk about this for anybody that's followed over from T-Blog. It's, you know, it's tough, and I can say this with you in front of me. It's T-Blog sometimes has been something I've been very proud of. Never ashamed of it, but it's been sometimes the bane of my existence. It's tough to let somebody know, hey, for every Monday for 9 years, I wrote about myself, and then every Monday for the last year and a half, I talked about myself. And that's an open book. Some people will say, you know, when you first start dating, well, did you Google him or her? Did you look at their Facebook? Did you look at their Instagram? Imagine having volume of giving somebody access to your life. And with people in my past have passed judgment on me, you didn't. You absolutely, as we like to talk about, went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but every right to. You had some questions, but one thing, again, how I knew you're the one, you didn't judge me because you didn't, you know, read something like, I can't believe you did that as a teenager, I did that in your 20s, or something you said to me before, like, what kind of women did you date before me? And I'm like, they were all crazy. Maybe I drove some of them crazy, but some of them were already crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's tough, and you accepted that part of my life, and you accepted the part of my life where, you know, I don't just work 8, 9, 10 hours a day and stop. I come here to this. I come here to the writing, the scripts. You get that, and you actually are supportive in that stuff, you know, and how we do that. You're supportive in my crazy cheat days and my meals and my workouts, and I do that for you. You're very supportive in the things that I'm passionate about and that I enjoy, and you're always quick to say to me, well, I want you to do the things that you enjoy. Passion's enough. You're in, again, Patriot land, and you watch games with me. So that's how I knew, and I said this before, and I'll say it again, where before my mother passed away, she's the only woman that would put up with my shit. You now are the only woman that would put up with all my shit, the good and the bad.
Oh, boy. But this would actually make a really great follow-up topic on a different podcast. But we should talk about the whole, like, Instagram Googling rabbit hole.
Yes.
That you can get into. Because I will say, one thing that worked in your favor is I made a commitment to myself as somebody who, and we've gone through this on a previous episode, I'm a voyeur by nature. I am a Nancy Drew miniature detective. At least I like to think that I am. I will find anything. You cannot hide anything from me. I will find it and I will sniff it out. And I've always been that way. And I've always, always, always gone on any date I've gone on, I've always looked up the person that I've been that I'm going on a date with, especially if I don't know them mm-hmm. in advance. And I didn't do that with you. And I said I wasn't going to do that anymore. I was just going to lead a little bit with blind faith. And I did that with you for a while. And then
it all spilled out.
It all spilled out before you could tell me. But you have to give me credit. It went a pretty long time before any of that happened.
Yeah, it didn't, and you know me, because I'm very honest, I had every intent of telling you about my little endeavors, and again, everything was in front of you, you know, the microphone with the podcast, the classic T-Blog hat sitting above me. I mean, there was stuff that at any time, if, you know, we talked about, I wasn't hiding it, but again, what I just said a little while ago, a lot of that stuff I kept close to the chest because it burned me in the past, and we were still just getting to know each other. And I had every intention of telling you about all that part of my life. But mm-hmm. it's a lot on top of, hey, you know, when I was in Eastie growing up, I've been in X amount of fights. So I did these crazy things. My dad was in prison. It was tough. I had to pick and choose the things I unloaded on you because I was so scared at the beginning of scaring you away, making you run away.
Which I think everyone does, to be fair. Like, I do think people present a version of themselves. Maybe yeah. not. It's a, I won't say a version of themselves, but it's a cultivated history and backstory when you're first meeting somebody. So I don't think that there's any difference in that. I will say that there is a difference now when we are in the age of Instagram mm-hmm. and Snapchat and whatever the kids are using these days called I call it the TikTok. It's really hard to hide things.
It is.
And not only is it hard to hide things, but I think when you're going out with people for the first time, I think it's also, especially if you're using dating apps or, you know, modern technology to find somebody, you need to be a little bit cautious. So I think it's natural that people look things up and Google somebody's name, especially if they know the last name.
Speaking of technology, can I, as you go, I'm just going to kick at this. Can I share with what someone said to us recently when we were looking at a wedding venue about? So
yeah.
Again, Melty and I staying on the topic. Obviously, Melty and I met on the dating apps. We're like, I think a modern romance technology for a crowd that's a little bit older than the typical crowds that meet off of the dating apps. I mean, mm-hmm. at our age, I don't think I've ever disclosed your age. So I won't disclose your age, but saying how I am at 42, Melty's definitely younger than me.
Much, much younger.
Well, not that much younger.
I'm in my 30s.
You are in your 30s. Yeah, I'm 42. Mm-hmm. I'm an older, well-established gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
You like older men, especially this older man.
Like really old.
I do voices to mess with Melody on Snapchat and just hang around with her. I always mess with her, and that was one of them. But we started looking at wedding venues,
mm-hmm.
and we went, and a nice woman was taking us around the location. Sometimes I didn't know what direction she was looking in, but she would take us around the location. And she was very nice, and Melty and I, we were, you know, we're a good team, a lot of things we do, and I think we both went in like, well, what kind of questions do we ask? I think we covered a lot, and we were really good together. We love this venue, and as we're sitting down to start looking at some of the paperwork, she made a comment, and I guess it's the standard comment, so in that salesy role, like, how did you two meet? And we happened to say the restaurant where we went at to our first date. Technically, Melty and I were obviously already talking and chatting through the app and then text before we met. But we didn't physically meet in our mind until we went to this place.
Well, technically, she said, where did you two meet?
She did.
And so I was being very technical with where we met. And we met at Sansi. Oh,
you can say that. All right.
We met at Sansi in Boston.
So that's where that was our first date. So it made it look like Melty and I met at Sansi. And she took it as, and she goes, oh, that's so nice. I feel like people don't meet out anymore. And Melty and I looked at each other like.
I thought you were going to say something, and I definitely was probably going to say something, but then it was not worth it. First of all, I don't like that comment for a number of different reasons, but the main reason why I don't like it is because, like, we're in a different time period right now. Like, you can say, oh, people don't meet out anymore, but yeah, they do. They just, it's harder to find commonalities because we're all, and it's harder to engage with people because everyone's tied to their phone and looking at their phone and or talking to friends. So it's, I think we're in the age, the reason why dating apps are such a popular way to meet somebody and why a lot of people getting married nowadays have met on dating apps. I know a few people that are currently married and they met on dating apps. I think that it's, I won't say it's easier because I don't think it's easier. I think it's actually harder because you're presented with a whole host of people. But I will say that it's a way to filter.
Yeah, I agree.
Good and bad. It's a way, I think, to understand what you do and what you don't want. And again, this is probably better for a longer dating type podcast, but people in my life, family members have called me picky and said that I was too picky.
I've been called that.
And there have been people that told me I just need to settle a little bit.
I got that too.
And I think that I think by dating a variety of people, which dating apps afford you the opportunity to do, get to meet different people if you're open to it.
Yeah, dating apps does open up a world where normally you... Because we talked about this, yeah. I mean, maybe we're a little bit younger, but we probably I probably still would have hit on you. You probably wouldn't have responded back to me out in the wild like that.
No.
But I mean, it opens up a world to you of people that, because again, I think everybody, especially the older you get, you do have a type that you go towards.
You have a type, and I think you start to see patterns. If you're very thoughtful about it, and you don't approach it as like, oh, I just want to like meet somebody. I want to meet somebody. But if you're thoughtful about the people that you're going out with, that you're liking, that you're talking to, I think it helps you filter out what you do and don't like. Like, there are things that I thought that I needed to have, boxes that I needed to have checked. And the more I started meeting those people, because I was filtering it so much to only get those people, I was like, no, I need to widen this because these people are not my people.
Again, just not my person. Well, back to her comment too. I wasn't offended by it because I'm usually the one making the offensive comments. So it's like that really wasn't on the level of offensive to me. But I was a little bit surprised, like this day and age, to make a comment like that, because so many people walking in the door, you don't know how they met. And yes, meeting off dating apps is very common in 2020. So
there are people that are still in college meeting on dating apps.
I know.
There are people just out of college meeting on dating apps. I can't even, to me, that feels weird because when I was in college, I was going out with friends. I was meeting people in the wild.
Could you imagine having dating apps in your back pocket on top of all that?
No.
I want to graduate college.
Nor can I imagine being a year or two out of school and being on a dating app. Like, I can't, like that, in my mind, I can't reconcile that.
It's a lot. I mean, at that point, again, you're just starting off in your career and stuff. You're already going out a lot when you're like 24, 25 anyway. Mm-hmm. But you imagine swiping too? Like, you just have a plethora of access to people.
Yeah.
How the hell are you working? Cooking, sleeping, going to the gym, you just be like, swipe, swipe, swipe. I'll meet this person. I'll meet that person.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways it's probably, I mean, I look at the people, one person in particular that I know very well who is 24, on dating apps, actively meeting people. And I think that in some environments, it almost makes sense that they have that access. Because if you don't work on a team, in a company that has people around your same age. Like I remember when I was just out of school, there were like a class of us starting at the same time.
Yes.
So we used to go out.
And, yes.
And if you aren't in that environment, if you're kind of the solo 24-year-old and on a team or in a company, it can be hard if you're wanting to go out after work.
Yeah.
Who do you go out with? So I think that in that way, it's great. I think there are people that probably move home after school to save money. And if you don't live in the city, it can be extremely hard to go out and meet people. So I don't know. I think dating apps are fine. I think people need to use them more wisely because I do think people get a little carried away with it and probably use it for more, I don't know.
Well, before we pivot over to the topic that we want to get into, as the police come by outside the Tea Palace.
Because I'm talking about crimes.
They come in when she's wearing her black hoodie. They come in to arrest Melty. Do you think you and I, as we go towards our marriage and our wedding, do you think that do you think that you and I could be role models for people a little bit younger than us? Like, I can't meet anyone. Should I get on dating apps? Do you feel like you're going to be the type of person to share, well, that's how I met T. Look at us. We're married. Or I'd be like, that's how I met Melty. Do you feel like you could encourage people or give them guidance of, like, what to do and what not to do? Because you got to admit, we are a dating app success story. Do you feel like that puts you in a certain different light for other people?
I see what you're saying with that. I don't know if I necessarily agree because I do, like I said, I think I know a number of people that met off dating apps and they're now married. So I think that there are a lot of like success stories. I think we can be good examples of how you should approach it and how you should be open-minded. And I always hated when people told me it was a numbers game, but like, I do think, especially with dating apps, it's a numbers game. You can't get attached to one person you're talking to. Like, you have to widen the net. You have to go on a few different dates because realistically, you're not going to meet that one person just by liking them and be like, okay, now I'm done with the app. But I think we could be an example of how you shouldn't settle. I think the advice that I got, to that my standards are too high, that I'm too picky, that I need to settle. I don't think you should settle. I think you should meet different people. I think your opinions will change, your likes, dislikes will change as you get older. Things that were important to me 10 years ago are no longer important to me now. So I think keep an open mind on that. And I think, you know, maybe a good segue for a conversation that we'll have here in a minute, you know, don't, if you go into it with a negative attitude, you're going to get negativity back.
It's true.
And if you go into it thinking like, I'm never going to meet anyone, I'm not meeting the right people, and you have a bad attitude, that's what you're going to be met with. So, just be open-minded. And we met a little bit later in life. You much later in life.
Yeah, much later.
You're much older than me.
Not much
older. but I think, you know, there's no formula anymore. Like my parents, my mom was 22 when she got married. You know, you don't need to be 22, 24, 25. It's very rare that people are getting married that young anymore.
My parents are 21.
Exactly. And there are still people that get married that young and it's a success and they live happily ever after. And I think that's wonderful and great, but that's not everyone's path. Like some people need to find themselves. They need to build a career. They need to become more independent because they aren't. They need to just live a little bit mm-hmm. more. And I think that that's completely fine. There isn't a defined path like there might have been.
Yeah.
So keep an open mind and just, yeah. I think we'll be a success story because we didn't settle. We looked for somebody that we truly loved. And even though we have differences, we can still come together and form a long-lasting partnership.
Well, as we pivot over to the next topic, I just want one last comment to make. Out of the two of us, ladies and gentlemen, when it came time to end the dating apps, I was the first to delete the app.
Well, so I'm not going to let you finish with that because I know for a fact you didn't delete, you might have deleted it off your
phone. I deleted it off my phone. I just never turned off my account.
Like you may have deleted it off your phone. You did not delete your account.
We talked about that, making a joke that there's people out there still swiping on me. I'm not responding.
Yeah.
Like, you son of a bitch. Yeah. I don't get any comments. I don't get any notifications or anything, though. So I definitely turned off something. Maybe I had my notification turned off before I deleted it, but I don't get anything.
I mean, maybe they just don't notify you if you don't have
the app. Could be it.
But yeah, it took me a little bit longer to remove it from my device.
But you are my reason to delete the app.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Before all this.
Will you marry me?
Will you marry me?
Nah.
Do we? I talked about this on the podcast with B-Lo, but the first look.
I think that's... I'm a fan of the first look. I think it's sweet. I also do think, and we've talked about this, although we won't get into this topic today.
No, we'll
bring
it back.
I think the first look helps a lot with It helps with the flow of the day so that you're not wasting the whole cocktail hour taking pictures.
They might think, is it jinxes the whole damn thing? Because I'm not supposed to see you in your dress until you walk down the aisle.
There are some religions, like my own, where you are supposed to see the person before you get married to ensure they're the person you're supposed to
Who
marry.
Who is this woman? All right, well, the opposite of first look is blind. The topic of tonight's podcast, love is blind. In a way, we started off a little blindish because we didn't know. We could have been catfishing each other.
Could've.
But there is... And it's safe to say now, because I'll give you the history of Melty and I of the show, and now it's a monster Netflix show. It's now the number one show on Netflix, which we just found out today. It's called Love is Blind. It's hosted by Nick Lachey.
And Vanessa Lachey.
Vanessa Lachey, formerly Vanessa Minnollo on TRL, right? Because that's how I remember her.
Yeah, I think that was
on MTV back in the day. They're a married couple now.
They're a married couple. They host this show. I'm not going to spoil anything because I definitely want to get more in depth on this, but... they host this show by popping in for, I think, 15 minutes on two episodes.
So far. And we're so about far. 7 episodes in.
Yep.
So
they don't even narrate the show.
They're barely even in the show. Love is Blind, if you at home who may or may not have watched, the concept is they get a bunch of guys, they get a bunch of women, they put them in a, can't say it's a house, it's like a studio, a soundstage that they live in. And then all day long, all night long, they go on dates in separate rooms. There's a wall between them, a mirror that changes colors so they can't see each other, but they call them pods. So they have to do that, and there's a timeline. Within 40 days, they have to be married. So they start off as strangers. You get to know each other. You go on a bunch of dates. Am I missing something?
Yes. They need to get engaged.
Right. I was in on the sequence of steps. So they go on a bunch of dates, and then by like days 2 through 5, they have to propose to each other through the wall. So they got to propose blind, not knowing what each other looks like. They could describe, because some of them absolutely gave descriptions. They were talking about like height, skin color, stuff like that. Age, we'll get into that in a second. And then by day 5, after the engagement, they finally get to meet each other. The walls lift up. They run to each other and they do their little, some of them actually get down on their knee again to re-propose, because now that I could see you. And then from there, they get moved out of the house studio pods. And if you didn't meet someone to get engaged to, you're kind of off the show. They now get them. They threw them all in a resort in Mexico. They made them go on vacation to get to know each other. Then the groups kind of mingle. The couples get to mingle. And then at that point, and again, I'm kind of just telling you the steps, and Melty and I will get into the details. They send them all, regardless of where you lived before, they're all forced to live in one apartment complex. So no matter what the hell you did for a job, what state, what city, if you had a dog or whatever, or what home, you got to come live in that apartment complex. And then you start meeting the families all within that shortened 40-day window, because now it's probably about 15, 20 days left, and you have to do that. And finally, the end game of the show is to walk down the aisle and be married by day 40. Is that Love is Blind in a pitch, an elevator pitch?
Yeah, that's pretty much the elevator pitch.
All right, so I'll give you all a quick background of Melty and I, where I said it before on the podcast, you guys know I'm a screenwriter. I love written shows, written movies, written material. I am not a reality show person. Melty loves reality shows. You love reality shows. You love reality shows. I come over to your house. It's the people on the deck, on the boat.
Yep, blew
it's it people out. From Jersey arguing who got deported.
Real Housewives.
It's.
Yep. So I am a big Bravo fan. I enjoy almost every show on Bravo. All the Real Housewives, Below Deck, Shaws of Sunset, all of those shows.
But the only reality show I ever got into was the Jersey Shore, which Melty watched back in the day, and she's catching up now, which is good. So we have that common ground. And for some reason, she and I, because I think it carries over from Jersey Shore, we watch Floribama Shore, which we both agree is the worst show ever, yet we watch it.
Why anyone watches that show, including us, I have no idea. It's the worst show ever. And it's clearly they're trying to make it like a Jersey Shore. It's just not working.
It's bad. So before Jersey Shore, the upcoming season just came back, and Floribama Shore left us unfulfilled. I heard about Love is Blind right when it started, about 3 weeks ago. And I was driving with Melty, and I'm like, have you heard about the show? And she didn't. And I'm like, when we get home tonight, we're going to watch it. I was the one, I'll put it on me, that made sure after dinner, a bottle of wine cracked, we sat down on Netflix, and we started watching Love is Blind. And I got to say, the first two episodes, we were bored out of our mind. What was your initial reaction to Love is Blind?
My initial reaction was, what are we watching? Because it is, first of all, let's get back to where we started. Nick and Vanessa Lachey are, quote unquote, the hosts of the show. They literally showed up for 5 minutes at the beginning. Not even. They had already started the show.
They did.
The show didn't even have
the show started with them walking in, going on dates.
Into the pods, yeah. So it was a very weird, disjointed. It was almost like somebody in the editing department
had no flow.
Didn't realize, or they mixed up the start in the middle of the show. Like, it was weird. Like, there was no narrator. It just literally started. And then about 20 to 25 minutes in is when we met Vanessa and Nick Lachey, who came in to talk more about what they were doing there, which felt like that should have come before everything else.
They're like, we're your host, and here are the rules of the show.
Yeah.
So everybody in the house, the studio, before they go into the pods, even though they went on a quick date in the pods, they didn't know why they were there.
Yeah.
They didn't know that they were supposed to get engaged in 2 to 5 days. They didn't know they were supposed to get married in 40 days. Like, these people all were supposedly genuinely shocked.
Yeah. And they introduced these characters that it was very unclear who these people were.
You call them, your words, because again, I didn't watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette. You call them like rejects from those shows that couldn't make it on this.
They are literally the rejects from Bachelor. Bachelor, Bachelorette that couldn't have made it on that show. One, because they're literally the rejects, the ones that like wouldn't have made one good airtime, or they're, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but like Bachelor, the Bachelor, Bachelorette formula have a very, they have a formula. They are looking for people that fit a certain body type, even if, you know, they're obviously mixing up, you know, races, things like that. But they are, it's very much a formula. Like all the girls are tall and skinny and 23, and the guys are former athletes.
Brads and Chads.
And full heads of hair. And so it's a very, like, it's a very, like, slick, repeatable formula for them. And these are the people that wanted to go on that show, but clearly didn't have what it takes. One, because they just aren't maybe physically, I'll say physically attractive. I know that sounds mean.
No, it's not show at all, because they aren't that, some of them aren't that physically attractive, but they also, some of, most of them don't have great personalities.
That too. So there's that.
But here's the thing. But they're not, we'll get into like some of the names in a second, but yeah, they're not unlikable. They're, it's not, just that there's nothing, there's no oomph to any of them.
They're not unlikable, and to be fair, all of them together with their different personalities make good television. Like, we'll get into the
when we got later into it, right?
Yeah.
But earlier on, yeah, these groups.
There's just like, well, because we never get introduced to any of them.
None.
They just show their names and their occupations and their ages, but you never know who they really are, and you see like half of a conversation.
My description at that point was like the tall guy, the yeah, short guy. I was like the gay guy.
Yeah.
That girl, the old looking girl. That girl definitely has a dick. Well, that's how I was describing half of
you
them.
You were. And I'll say to that point, although rude, but to that point, the reason why I call them Bachelor, Bachelorette rejects, and I stand by this firmly, is because Bachelor, Bachelorette tend to be 21, 22, 23. I think the oldest person they had on that show, when she was considered a grandmother, was 29. And on this show,
well, some of the ages are very suspect. So
we have to talk about that, but they're older. A lot of them are in their 30s. There's one guy that claims to be 36 and still a virgin. It's like, it's so weird.
And we got to watch them interact through walls. So it's like, you know, again, most of the times, let's get back to the dates before they started asking each other to marry each other. They're like laid back on the couch. The guy's mostly drinking hot alcohol. The women are like, I got my wine right here. I love you, Bonnet. So it's like they're drinking through the walls because they're locked in a fucking house. There's nothing to do but drink, yeah, and talk through a wall.
Well, and they need to not only talk through a wall, but they're talking to somebody they've never met before. They have no idea what they look like. And they're supposed to make these connections to the point where, I mean, the reason why they're all there is they want to get engaged and go further on the show. Yep. So they need alcohol to have and force these conversations along.
Yeah, force them along and force them to say, I love you. They were saying, I love you by the second day.
Yeah.
Because they had to progress things along once they told the rules, but
they were fighting over
which guy, which girl.
Which guy, which girl. And which is so weird.
So let's get into some of the characters. So at the beginning, I think all the girls were talking about this guy, Barnett, because he's a tall, good-looking guy. Everybody was liking him. And then
He also had, the reason why girls liked him is I think they could suss out by his voice that he was, I mean, he was also very funny and like making fun of situations, very sarcastic. And I think he was engaging people.
He had that tool, again, I'm not trying to stereotype a lot of women, back then when you're a little bit younger, that you kind of fuck with the girl's head.
Yeah.
And make them feel like, this guy's a bit of an asshole, but that makes him more attractive because he's a bad boy. He was using some of the stuff I did back in my young day when he was getting into all those girls' heads because he was playing them against each other. Mm-hmm. And then by doing that, knowing that he was good looking too, he had his pick. And that was the formula. At that point, he got to choose because he had a couple girls crying over him and he finally picked one.
He had the only time, and this is, I think, why I really got hooked on Love is Blind. So we start, I think only two episodes were when they were in the pods before they all got engaged. Or not all of them, but like five of them got engaged. Five couples. We're supposed to believe that these people are older in life and that they're just fine with not being picked because we never see them again. We never see really any of their conversations. We know there are more people like that, the 36-year-old virgin that had like that was attractive, like not unattractive, but he's like, I'm a virgin. I'm waiting until I meet someone special. It's like, who are you and why are you here right now? But we never see him again. We never hear what happened to him. We never saw one date that he went on or conversation he had.
Barnett was the standoff for the guys.
Barnett was the standoff.
The girls, she's very suspect, was a girl called Jessica.
Right. But in addition to Jessica, we can't forget about the girl, Elsie, that was never seen from again.
Who's Elsie?
She was the one that she liked Barnett. She wanted Barnett to propose to her. That was the only girl that we saw, like, fully rejected, like, not... And there were other girls in the house that were not asked to be married or proposed to. But she was the only one that sat and was like, I love Barnett so much.
She was on the flowery dress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to pick me. We just have so much chemistry together. And then when he breaks it to her that he's not going to propose to her, she's like, why doesn't anyone love me? Why can't anyone to love me? Like, that was believable. That's what hooked me on the show, because I'm like, oh, my God, these people are actually real people that, like, have real emotions and feelings.
But the guys in my language here in Melty Got to Know, I called them all pussies because every guy cried through the wall. And they were saying, I love you, but it's you. And I was like, oh, I know I just met you. They were fucking bawling. I'm like, why is every guy crying through a wall?
I think they were terrified. Like, I would be terrified too. You have no idea what's on the other side of that wall. You have a girl that's like, oh my God, I love you so much. Just marry me already.
And that's Jessica. That's what she sounds like.
Yeah.
So Jessica, besides Elsa who left, Jessica is a blonde girl. Now, Melty and I have, like, we're in agreement of, she's lying about her age.
Jessica, 34, regional manager. She's definitely 45, not a day under that. I would believe she was 50. She looks old.
She has eye wrinkles that look like the constellation in a night sky. Like, there's so much going on with her eyes. It's frightening.
Well, we were talking about it at work, and typically you can tell girls that have sat in the sun. Like, I was a girl that went tanning. Like, I went tanning as a kid. Not as a kid, but when I was 18 and could go on my own. I went religiously when I was in college because of where I went to school. I was orange for a large portion of my life. And I loved sitting in the sun, and I regret that now heavily.
But you have great skin.
But I have great skin. I have good genes that have allowed me to have this. And I know that there are some people that don't have great genes like that. But she looks like she has consistently sat in the sun and, like, literally burnt every, like, inch of her skin over and over and over again. That's how many wrinkles she has. That or she's 50.
And she's always done up, but the moments when she gets super drunk and she's not as done up, she looks like the Crypt Keeper from Tales of the Crypt. She looks like she's 75, just came out of a coffin.
Yeah.
She's scary.
She's polarizing.
Yes, but she had a couple of the guys a little torn, and Barnett was almost going to choose her, but he chose someone else. But then, what's the little guy that ended up choosing her? Justin?
No.
Mark. Mark is a little guy that...
He's not little. He's just...
Well, he's a little pussy, though. Like, he's so... Like, he puts up with all her shit.
Well, he is... So, and to put it in perspective, so we're to believe that she's 34. Again, don't believe it.
And he's 24.
And she has said from the beginning, I don't care about age, but every single conversation that she initiates with him is about how young he is and how much of his life he still has to live, and how she wants these things and she just doesn't feel like he wants them to. And she just goes hard on the age thing every chance she gets.
And she clearly, when they leave the house, even though they're engaged now, they end up engaged them too, she's still in love with Barnett. Mm-hmm. And she treats this guy like shit. She won't give him any play. She doesn't even kiss the guy.
Nope. She only wears her ring half the time. The other half, she decides to just take it off, not wear it. She decides to put it on.
She took it off to meet his family.
The
disrespect.
They are out for a night of drinking, or they're, like, in their apartments. They're having a birthday party for Barnett, of all people. And she is so drunk because she, like, has a drinking problem.
She absolutely does.
And is drinking all the time. Like, I don't think she's never not drinking.
There's full glasses of wine scattered around the apartment. And one in bed with her and the dog. But he's on the couch.
Yeah, her dog loves wine too. As
she gives the dog wine, and then she drinks it right after the dog.
It's gross.
She has guys out there. If you could think of a red flag or typical red flags that scare you away from a woman, she has all the fucking red flags. And that's why she's 45, telling us she's 34, confused and on this show.
Yeah.
So with them, they're more of the like more mainstream popular ones. And now again, we're out of the house now. We're in the apartment complex. They're engaged. They meet families. There's another couple, and I'm really bad with the names. There's the tall, gonky Frankenstein scientist. Mm-hmm. And he's white, and mm-hmm. the black girl.
Lauren,
I think that's her name. Who is absolutely hung up on race. She brings up every chance she gets that he's white. And now they just met each other's families, and the white bread, pun intended, guy cuts a rap for the black girl and her mom. One of the most racist things I've ever seen on a show. And then her parents aren't together, and the mom's like, I can't wait for her father to meet him. Soon as he walks in the door, the father automatically hates him because he's white. So now they got to deal with the whole race aspect, which we don't know where that's going to end up. And then there's another couple where there's a ginger guy that looks like, I don't know, Pippi Longstocking and Kermit the Frog fucked and had a son. And he's a GM. A GM of what? We don't know, but he lost his job to be on the show.
Yeah.
So he has no income.
We firmly believe that he's the GM of like a Walmart or like.
Because he's a little slow. So he's definitely Walmart.
He just doesn't seem that smart. But he's now engaged to a girl named Gianna. Gianna.
There's a lot of extra syllables in there.
And she wants to be seduced.
You just don't seduce me.
She's very focused on attraction and physical attraction and being in love and is in love with him but wants him to initiate. And I'm like, well, you picked a dud, honey. I don't know what to tell you. He's a dud. Like, he doesn't know basic anything.
There was a great line before she got, I mean, that seducing line was the best line, but there's one before that. She's, the only way they could talk is they kind of, without purposely doing it, they kind of recreated the structure of the parts. Mm. She was in the kitchen, he was in the bedroom, so they can't see each other. And this is the most intimate their conversation has been since leaving the house. He's in bed drinking, it looked like a mudslide in a wine glass. And she's out there making avocado toast, I believe. And she's yelling like, remember when you told me that was the best sex you ever had? And he goes, yeah, I do. Do you notice I never said that to you?
And he's like, I think you said it was good. And she's like, yeah, I said it was okay. Like, it was so, she's drama.
She is nuts. And then we get to meet the families is the best. Like, we were confused with, well, obviously we knew who the mom was, but the mom walks in with a guy named Oscar that looked like, I don't know what the fuck he's from.
Well, a tall man walks in, then the mother walks in, and then this man appears, this
and she goes, short man. Oh, that's Oscar.
And it's like, here's Oscar. But it's never clear who Oscar is or what he's doing. There are just two men and a woman there.
So it's weird. We are at we're about to watch episode 7. They dropped them all. Like, I think they dropped like 4 or 5, and then they started doing them weekly. So we're trying to get caught up, and they're going to release them weekly, I think, going into some point in March or at least the end of this month.
I don't know.
And we're trying to figure out the timeline. But to Melty and I's surprise, and Melty could talk a little more to this. Again, I don't really talk a lot of shows with people who work. They know I'm the Patriots guy, the movie guy. I don't watch reality shows. So, and again, I'm on social media, obviously. I didn't know there was life to this. I literally thought Melty and I were the only ones watching this. And Melty could talk a little bit more that she saw it on social and people started talking about it. But to our surprise, we didn't think it was big because the way it started, we were like, why are we watching this? But we got addicted. It is now the number one show on Netflix.
It's huge. It's all over. Anyone that follows, any listeners that also listen to or follow Heather McMahon, she's all about it as well. And she roasts these people. I know like the Toasters, younger generation podcasters and influencers watch it and they talk about it on their show. A bunch of people watch it at work, so we've been talking about it, especially Jessica, because she's just so polarizing. And yeah, it's a thing. It's really taken off.
So the way things are going now, and again, we gotta watch a little bit more. There's that one couple we didn't even talk about that she had to go to San Francisco. They're probably the most normal.
They're the most normal, but what was so interesting is they were the only ones whose parents met each other. So, like, when they first met her parents, his parents came to their house, and yes, they all met. And that was weird. But we only see them together like once. Yeah. And that was it. Because she had to go to San Diego.
Yeah,
because
they weren't even in the house.
Which,
in the
speaking of, this is why this show is weird and the people are weird. She had to go to San Diego for work. Yet, I've looked her up now. She is a health and wellness, like one of those nutritionists. Like, she doesn't even have, like, a corporate job that she would need to go to San Diego
Maybe
for.
Maybe it was a conference? I don't know. I mean, all their jobs are very suspect.
All of them, because they're all defined by manager, regional manager,
scientist,
GM, scientist, engineer. What's the girl? Wait, this, we missed her. What's her name? The one engaged to Barnett.
ex-tank mechanic. It literally says that every time her name pops up. And mind you, Melty and I started going down the social media rabbit hole looking, like, on their social media Instagram. She's, like, in Fashion Nova clothes. She introduces Barnett to her family. She's definitely a hoe.
Wait.
On the show.
Wait, you're missing the most important part about her, though. So not only is she an ex-tank mechanic, but she has one credit card.
Makeup credit card.
Makeup credit card.
$700 credit limit.
$700
That's
credit
maxed
limit.
Out.
That's, no. She spends $200 at a time on makeup, which she now they're living in the real world and they're having these real conversations, and she goes to Barnett's house for the first time. She's like, I can picture myself living here. I see myself living here. I'm gonna move right in.
She slides down the stairs on her ass.
She slides down the stairs on her ass. They sit in the kitchen and she was like, so I just think you should know that I have $20,000.
I think you should know that I am 20 grand in debt.
Wait, 20 grand in student loan debt and has never paid any of it back. So she's like, but I have a great credit score. And I'm like, well, have you checked? Because you can't not pay off debt in any capacity. He's like, you're not even paying the minimum? She's like, no, not even the minimums.
Barnett was asking the questions like somebody's parent would. He's like, so were you paying the minimum? Did you defer them? She's like, no, I just didn't pay them.
I just didn't pay them.
So now Barnett's going to inherit this Fashion Nova, useless, unemployed
$700 on
credit card.
A $700 credit. I don't think I've ever had a $700 credit limit.
Let alone just for makeup.
Let alone just for makeup. And I don't think I've ever spent, actually I have probably spent $200 at like a Sephora, but thank you. $200 a time on makeup.
So we're, without making a quick, we're going to come back to this. Hopefully I'll have Melty back on before the show ends or around the time it's going to end. I think you think too. I don't know if any of these couples are going to make it across the finish line and actually get married, besides maybe that weird couple that the girl went out to San Fran or San Diego. They may have a shot because the families did meet. If any couple would do it, do you think they have the best shot?
I think they have the best shot. I mean, we've already seen, and we didn't talk about this either, but we've already seen one couple. They got out in the real world and they were done the next day.
Yeah, we did. There was one couple that, there was a couple that I think she had a penis and he was bisexual. And he tried to tell her that he used to be with guys in the past. That didn't go well with her. There was a big champagne fight. A ring was thrown in the pool. And they broke up in Mexico. They didn't even make it off the vacation.
He might have yelled after her.
He threw his daddy hat. He had a daddy hat.
Yeah. And he said that her wig looked bad.
He said, your damn wig is crooked. He's like, it's been on a slant the entire time. And she's like, I don't fucking need you. And he's like, well, I don't fucking need you either. Do you think I give a fuck about this rank? Right? Am I missing anything?
Yeah, it was.
And he threw it.
Well, you missed one thing. When he said that he was bisexual, he was like, I like both.
Yeah.
I've been with both. And she was like, guys and girls.
Yeah, that's the best part. I like both. And she goes, like guys and girls? And I go, no, like cats and dogs. She was very confused. And then he started crying because all the guys cry. He throws his daddy hat and he turns his back to her and he's bawling. All she's doing with her little hand on his back going, they're there, they're there. Then we find out as the audience, they both slept in separate rooms. And then they come together in that big pool scene I just named. The champagne gets thrown in his face. The ring gets thrown in the pool. The wig comment is made. She's crying at a broken down concierge desk. And then they're broken up and that couple's off the show.
Yeah.
So, but that ended, that was the worst one. So now I think we got the five couples left. They may make it. The other one that we think with the families met could make it across the finish line. Early predictions, I'm saying this. I think that there's going to be a swerve where Barnett and Jessica may end up together. And because she's in love with him and she's a little more established and he doesn't want the Fashion Nova's debt. I think that that may happen.
It could. I think Jessica's a little too crazy. I think she is now blatantly throwing herself, being engaged to somebody else, mind you.
She's still over Barnett.
She's now blatantly throwing herself at Barnett, like throwing all her hair in front of her face when she talks to him.
With her old wrinkled skin.
Yeah. Like throwing it back and being really drunk. And like, and he's just like, yep, nope, I'm happy with, I forget her name now.
Yeah, but I forget her name too.
But I'm happy with her.
Their relationship, Bonnet and that other girl, the ex tank mechanic, it's very physical. Like, that's all that is.
Oh, and she's driving all that physicality.
I mean, she's literally, and again, I'm not getting any graphic here, but when they're in Mexico, she's telling them how much sex they had on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had sex in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, I'm actually shocked that we haven't seen both of them naked at some point on the show because she is all over him at all times of the day. And always talking about how infatuated she is with him.
So, love is blind. I think Melty and I found a common, what's the word I'm looking for? Not dirty secret, but something, vice. Like, it's something that you're not supposed to be proud of. Guilty pleasure.
Yes.
I think Melty and I found a guilty pleasure for the two of us. Filling a gap, something that, again, here's what I was saying to Melty, who she loves reality shows. I love making fun of people.
I do too.
And I make you laugh with my commentary. I think we have, and a part of our relationship is that if there's something that Melty's watching, like I call it one of her Bollywood movies, I think for me to last through it is I make fun of everyone. I have a lot of commentary. And I think this works because Love is Blind is full of a bunch of weird characters. And as we watch it, I have something to say about everyone, and then Melty and I were like, literally, like, what the fuck every second we get.
Yeah.
So it's safe to say we're going to see this through the end and come back, hopefully, to the Tea Podcast and give the listening audience an update.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do weekly updates. I'm not going to lie here. It's I want to talk about the show all the time. I never want to not be.
This is definitely a whale, because you are a lot more into it and animated when we start talking about this. Oh. You have strong opinions about reality shows.
I have strong opinions. I want everybody to watch it. I think Jessica is insane, and I really just love when I can, when I talk to somebody who is watching it, but I didn't realize they were watching it, and we can just talk about Jessica and how freaking crazy she is and how she claims to be 34 but is really 45.
45 going on 100. You know what, Melty, something we may think about that I'm just springing on you now here, like I had B-Lo, you keep it up on the podcast, we may need to get some Melty social media out there where people could find you and give you a take, maybe put some stuff on the stories as you grow along as my second co-host, maybe my main co-host to replace B-Lo one day because he's doing a terrible job.
Fire B-Lo. Yeah, no, I would do that, and I would just put up a bunch of social around Jessica and how she's really 45, and I would tag her in it, and I'd be like, Jessica, come on the show. Let's actually hear about you.
Speaking of tagging, something we just did a while ago at dinner. It's kind of funny. Melty wanted to tag Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss fame. Because if you, again, Bilo and I used to talk about Snapchat all the time. Snapchat, but Melty and I actually have a streak still going longer than Bilo and I's. I think we're up to 165 days, something
which
like that.
I think seems not right. Like, I swear there have been multiple days in a row where we've been at 164.
You sound like Bilo and I in our prime, where we now realize that Snapchat does screw you days.
Oh, yeah, they definitely take away days.
So Melty and I Snapchat each other every day. I send her some really messed up shit every
like
day.
To the point where I'm literally just like, what am I doing with my life right now?
So we have that in one filter. We just again, I never really used it when we were at having dinner before we record the podcast, is that filter that shows you in the opposite sex, and she put the female filter on my face. And if any of you under the hat, you know, want to see what I look like under the hat as a woman, I look like Alyssa Milano.
Not even that you look like Alyssa Milano. I think you are Alyssa Milano. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm shocked. I had no, like, I.
Looking at me right now, do you think I will look like Alyssa Milano?
No. But if you Google Alyssa Milano, and you need to stop listening to this podcast right now, and you need to go Google Alyssa Milano and look at her, and what you're looking at when you look at a picture of Alyssa Milano is your famous T, your infamous T as a girl. So we now need to redo the opening to say the Alyssa Milano of tea.
Alyssa Milano of podcasting. So I had to throw that out there. So again, I'm going to close out the show, but I've been talking to Melty about this, and folks out there, please, if you're liking the podcast, if you're liking me solo, if you're liking me with B-Lo, if you're liking me with Melty, and all the different, I think you clearly see there's three different levels in different types of podcasts that I do when I'm on my own, compared with B-Lo and you, which again, I enjoy all of them, but this is definitely, I think, one of my favorites. If you're enjoying it, please go to T-Blog, listen there, but come over to iTunes, subscribe, get the T-Podcast in the app, get it delivered to your app every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, mostly Tuesday and Thursday. Subscribe, review, rate the show, and give feedback. DM me on Instagram. Let me know what you think about this type of content. What do you think about Melty, B-Lo? Reach out, share the podcast, tell your friends. And that's that. Melty, anything you want to say before we go?
Rate, review, subscribe. And you know what, guys? If you don't like listening to me, tell T, and he'll kick me right off.
Probably not. Okay? I have a tough time listening to anyone. But it would be great if you guys get that feedback, because I want to know who else is out there. I want to get feedback on everyone, because I try to bring something different from my perspective with B-Lo. We kind of bro it up, and obviously with my fiance, soon-to-be wife, on her take on everything. Me, everything his and hers, and just topical stuff like we just did, because normally I wouldn't talk about Love is Blind with myself or B-Lo, so I'm glad you and I could talk about it. All right, everyone, that's the podcast for Tuesday, February 25th, 2020. That was the Tea Podcast number 144. Melty, would you like to say goodbye before I close off the show?
Goodbye, Melty.
Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to Tea in the Tea Podcast on iTunes and TeaBlog.com. Also follow Tea along on Twitter and Instagram on the Tea Blog account. All one word, TBLAWG, on the Tea Blog Facebook page. And again on Instagram, this time on the Tea Podcast account, the_T_podcast. You can send comments and questions along to Tea at T@T-blog.com. That's T@T-BLAWG.com. The show has now ended. T has taken it there.